This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. This is episode 150. Of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, it's a long time since we've talked, it seems like.
Hi, David. Yes, and I'm back from vacation. You're getting ready to go on yours before we actually physically connect at the Udvar-Hazy Center.
Yeah, it's 1 week from Saturday, so the June 18th. At the National Air and Space Museum's Innovations of Flight, otherwise known as hashtag InFlight16. And we're looking forward to seeing a lot of people. We've gotten a lot of feedback advance that people are going to find us. Unfortunately, we don't know exactly where we're going to be yet, but it probably will be where we usually are, which is around the FW-190 or the Boeing 377 across from the Concorde. So that's usually where they put us, and now that I've said that, we'll probably be somewhere else. But we're looking forward to bringing in some interviews. We will be talking with our favorite princess about UAVs and the Kashmir Foundation, Da Vinci Project. And I know we have some other people coming up. We'll hopefully get to talk to Roger about the Flirty drone that they just brought in. And
yeah,
so we've got a lot on our plate, but we got a lot of topics tonight. I think this is going to be a little bit longer show because I think we're going to skip next week, Max. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that we'll be sort of en route to the Smithsonian. So we'll plan on skipping next week's episode. But hey, you never know. Something might happen to let us put something out in the stream.
I'll be on the beach. If Max wants to do a recording, he can. Maybe we can get Max Trescott aboard. But we'll see. I look forward to being face-to-face with Max, unlike face-to-face on the screen. And we need to get started because we got a lot of show. Topics to this episode are 3D printing a drone, a decline in drone sightings, which is sort of our FAA news of the week. Who knew a Nintendo glove could be so powerful? Our favorite gun-toting drone is from Connecticut is back. Should you be shooting at their drone? Taxi, a video a week, and some more. So with that, let's get started. Well, our first this week is from 3Ders.org, which is a 3D printing webpage. Oqala unveils Captor UAS, a fully 3D printed commercial aerial imaging drone. Pretty neat, huh? It seems like we've been talking about 3D printing from day one.
And it's sort of a great topic when you're talking about drones because, well, as we all know, what do we do with drones? Well, we tend to crash them fairly frequently and parts break and need to be replaced. And if the major components of a drone are 3D printed, that offers the opportunity of being able to print your own replacement parts. So Oqala, this Singapore-based startup, is looking at the benefits of 3D printing, but also looking at the need for high-quality aerial imaging. And they are, they say, combining these in this Captor UAS. They're going for something that's easy to repair and something that's also suitable for professional users.
Their website, the system costs $2,750, and with that you get a fixed wing, a Sony camera with 18 megapixels, an 80-centimeter wingspan, a 50-minute max flight time, and a 4-kilometer radio range, which implies beyond line of sight, huh?
Yep, this is a longish endurance fixed wing. I think you mentioned that aircraft, so it's sort of suitable for that kind of use. The 2750 pricing, that's the promotional pricing. And they say on their website that runs until the 20th of June. After that, the regular pricing is going to be anywhere from $5,000 to $14,000. And they're accepting pre-orders now. So I think the, you know, sort of the basic idea behind this is great. Hopefully they will actually be able to, you know, produce these things and that they, you know, meet the specs. And so we wish them luck. But as always, this kind of field of unmanned vehicles is an opportunity for lots of new companies to come in. And, you know, some will be successful and some will not. Hopefully this will be one of the companies that makes it.
You mean a company other than DJI?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of DJI, let's go to FAA and the AMA. Evidently, plastic bags are up and drone data is showing a decline in UAS sightings. This is from verticalmag.com. Updated analysis of FAA drone data shows decline in UAS sightings. Vertical Mag is a rotary wing helicopter magazine and really great photography in it, I've got to admit. But so are UAS sightings going down, Max?
Well, the data that the Academy of Model Aeronautics, the AMA, looked at suggests that. They looked at some of the more recent sighting data from the FAA, and what they found is that since the peak sightings, which occurred in August 2015, each month there's been a decline in the number of sightings reported. They note that this is particularly striking in light of the volume of drones that have been sold sort of over this time period. But we don't really know what's behind the data. The data may show decreases in sightings, but what's happening here? Are people flying more safely and properly and therefore not interfering with manned flight, or are there just fewer reports? Have pilots, manned pilots, become tired of just reporting these things over and over? You know, the reasons behind it are not clear. We'd like to think that it's because people are taking advantage of the resources that the FAA and others have in terms of promoting safe flying, and they're taking heed of that. But do we know for sure? Not really, but we can hope.
It's an interesting spin on the data, and it's coming from the Academy of Model Aeronautics. So they have a vested interest in drone sightings, so it's interesting. We'll keep following up, and that's it for the FAA news this week, folks. Pretty quiet, all quiet on the FAA front.
Next up, the Nintendo Power Glove. Do you remember the Power Glove, David?
Yeah, I think it lasted one Christmas season, and I don't think many people bought it. But evidently, it has other uses than using it for Nintendo.
Yeah, this glove was it was released in 1989, and basically it was a controller accessory for the Nintendo Entertainment System. They only ever made two games available for this thing, and they did not sell very well. I think the U.S. version of the glove sold about 100,000 copies, but it just sort of faded out pretty quickly. But maybe it's making a comeback.
Yeah, certainly. Now there's going to be a bunch of drone addicts running around trying to find a copy of their Power Glove, finding somebody's old Power Glove in a garage sale, because Nolan Moore took a Power Glove and turned it into a hand gesture-based controller for the Parrot AR drone. That just doesn't sound right. Hand gestured-controlled drone. But if you've ever seen, what was the Tom Cruise movie where he uses his glove, puts the glove on to manipulate the data, and moving the glove around moves the drone? That's exactly what this is. So interesting. another new and creative hack of something old is made new again.
Right. You can follow this guy's progress. He has a project blog for this, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes at the uavdigest.com/150. So follow along the project.
Well, speaking of projects and college projects, you all right?
Yes. I groan every time this guy comes up again.
And I put these in the show notes just so Max has to groan because it's from that state that thinks that the Wright brothers weren't the first people to fly. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry.
Hey, some people are number two. Well, this is about that Connecticut student, I'm sure you will recall, who first mounted a gun on a quadcopter and then a flamethrower. There are two lawsuits operating right now, as it turns out. One of them is suing to be reinstated at his college, Central Connecticut State University. They expelled him after, I guess I want to use the word stunts. But there's another lawsuit, and this one is operating at the same time. Well, apparently after the first video, the flying gun video, the FAA issued an administrative subpoena, and they wanted records, a lot of records, purchase records, and an accounting of anything that he earned from the YouTube video. Now, you think, well, why that? Well, to me, that says they want to make a
case for a
commercial.
They're going after him because it was a commercial operation.
Right.
He made money on the video, which was based off of a drone.
Right. If he did make money, we don't know for sure. And in fact, the FAA, I think the way they asked for it was for any money earned, if any, from the YouTube video. But the student and his father, they refused to comply with this order. They said they were under no obligation to comply. Then the flamethrower video comes out. And another subpoena from the FAA, no response from the young student and his father. So the FAA has now taken them to court. There are some interesting statements from the attorneys who are involved in this that sort of gives you a little insight as to how this court case is likely to play out.
John Larson, an assistant U.S. state's attorney, wrote, "The respondent's use of a UAS falls within the scope of the FAA's authority as set forth in the plain language of the above statutory and regulatory scheme. Specifically, that the UAS shown in the respondent's videos is an aircraft, quote-unquote, because it, even though it's unmanned, it's a contrivance device that is invented, used, or designed to fly in the air." We got to write that one down.
Now, the defense attorney comes back. And this is kind of an interesting take on this, I think. He says, "The present case is one of first impression. No Article III court has had occasion to examine the scope of the term aircraft, quote unquote, as used in the FAA organic statute." He says it's ambiguous. The FAA's construction is patently absurd. He goes on to say the verb fly, as in fly in the air, is not so plain, though. There is fly in the sense of airborne locomotion, like how birds fly from one place to another. But flags also fly when attached to a pole, don't they? He says, "We also say that plastic bags or bits of paper carried in the air fly about."
Yeah, but now he really shouldn't have took the plastic bag thing, because we have had incidents where plastic bags were drones. I mean, drones were plastic bags. What was that happened in Great Britain?
That's right. Well, again, it seems like he's going to focus in on this definition of, you know, what is an aircraft? What does the fly mean? He brings up fly balls in baseball. He brings up frisbees, clay pigeons, paper airplanes, a pole for pole vaulting, and it kind of goes on.
Luckily, he didn't bring up pants.
That kind of fly. Yeah, no. He does talk about hand-tossed pizza dough, things like this. So I don't know if this is really the argument that I would go with, because, I don't know, this maybe has the possibility of becoming an important case in terms of establishing, you know, legal
case
precedent,
law,
case
yeah,
law, and that kind of thing. And so if it gets too frivolous and you know, sort of off the topic, then we may lose an opportunity to really create some good case law.
Okay. I'll ask your forgiveness for putting in this story. I just, the whole... Sneakers, rubber bands, spitballs, anything juggled, a birthday balloon, hand-tossed pizza dough, ceramic plates, during a lover's spat. I gotta love the during a lover's spat, not just the juggling the ceramic plates, but the implication that they're being thrown. But, right. And ironically, nothing about said gun and or said flamethrower.
That's right. This is just taking a look at do they have the authority to regulate, they being the FAA, this reportedly in the kid's own backyard, private property. Can he do whatever he wants to do? Or are these things aircraft that no matter where they are subject to FAA regulation? So we'll see. We'll see if it becomes an important case or if it's just a waste of pretty much everyone's
air.
Time.
Waste of airspace?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, let's move to the other extreme. Not have your drone shoot at you, but you might have to shoot at your drone. This was from MarketWatch. Should you be allowed to keep drones from flying over your property? We'd like to thank Ken from our Slack listener team. And it was an article that has two counter thoughts on whether you should be able to shoot your local drone out of the sky.
One comes from A. Michael Frumkin. He's the professor of law at the University of Miami School of Law. And his perspective is drones don't have and shouldn't be given a legal right to fly over private property in defiance of the wishes of the landowner. Such overflights threaten privacy and safety and destroy Fourth Amendment rights. He says before airplanes, the right to exclude went up indefinitely. We've talked about that before. Now it usually ends at 500 feet where navigable airspace managed by the FAA begins. Lowering it any further, however, would be a big mistake. And he really focuses on the privacy aspect of this. You know, if you've got drones buzzing around in your backyard, that they're unsafe. Or they could be unsafe to you and your property. But the big issue he has here is as a privacy issue.
And then the assistant professor of law at the University of Washington, Ryan Kahlo, says, quote, in 1910, you could have sued Orville and Wilbur Wright for flying their plane over land you owned. I don't think it was owned land. Having been to the national park, I believe it was open space. But we'll leave that alone, Ryan. Drones are the next frontier of aviation. Decisions about where drones can fly should be made collectively, not by individual landowners. Interesting that he's not saying it's the FAA. He's saying collectively, meaning a bigger group of people like state, local, law enforcement, as well as the FAA.
I think the implication might be FAA.
Well, but broader than that, I think. I don't know.
He's looking at it from the perspective of new technology coming along, and just like with the with the rights, laws needed to be modified to account for the new technology, to embrace it, to allow it to flower, if you will, and produce the benefits to society that it might. And he sees unmanned aircraft as kind of another step of that sort. A big technology change, and so we need to reconsider how we, view and allow these things. We don't want to stifle a new technology that offers such great promise. But it's an interesting article. We're just sort of touching on the arguments that each of these gentlemen have made. It's something that's, I think, worthy of debate, and if you're interested in sort of exploring these thoughts further, we'll have a link to this article in the show notes.
And if you have an opinion and you'd like to voice it, send us some feedback at feedback@theuavdigest.com.
Sure.
Or if you really want to get into a conversation, you can open up the hornet's nest known as our Slack listener team. You can jump in there and have a conversation with everybody. And they've batted around a lot of these topics. And vigorous debate, but all good-natured, I'll say.
Yep.
So this came from our fellow co-host Max Trescott from the Airplane Geeks. Human carrying taxi drone to be tested in Nevada. Remember the Yi Chang? Well, we thought it was a publicity stunt, but clearly they're really trying to make an Uber for drones.
Yeah. Drone Mama also surfaced this link, and I told her, I said, there's no way I'm going to talk about this thing again because it's just sort of a nonsensical idea. But here it is, and we're talking about it again.
Max did not pick out the stories this week. You can tell. This is the second one he's griped about.
Well, the EHang has actually received approval to test this EHang 184, approval from the Nevada Institute for Autonomous Systems and also the Governor's Office of Economic Development. So later this year, the prototype that was shown at CES, the development of that is going to receive some testing. The problem I have with this is it just seems like a pretty scary thought to put yourself in an autonomous aircraft and be whisked away to your destination. I'm not sure we're ready for that. Do you think? Are you ready for that, David?
Oh, I'll volunteer. What the hell?
Oh, dear.
With one condition.
Yeah.
I'd like a couple of cocktails, you know, a couple of martinis, you know, just to ease the burden of knowing that I'm never going to have my hands on this. I guess, Max, my question to this is, would you get into a perfectly good airplane that you can't fly?
If there was someone else in that airplane who could fly it, then yeah, no problem. That's what
but
we do all the time.
What's the difference?
The difference is that with an autonomous aerial taxi, there is no backup. There is no person in the plane, obviously, but there is no person on the ground either that can step in when there's some kind of a mechanical or system problem.
And look at all the airliners we've had suddenly that are so automated that are falling out of the sky.
Well, they're automated, but they have pilots.
They have pilots, but that isn't helping. That isn't helping them fall out, improving their chances as they fall out. I'm being kind of snarky here, folks, but
I'm too old for this. I'm not going to get in a little sealed quadcopter and rise into the sky. I just can't do it. Well, one question is, how reliable would it need to be? Right, nothing is 100% reliable. There are a lot of things that are 99% reliable or 99.9% reliable. How reliable is reliable enough for the general population to accept this, not to mention for the FAA to accept it?
Well, and not to mention, is autonomous really autonomous? You know, we talked about Dr. Allen and the AI right. Institute at Langley, and there's a big difference between what autonomous gets thrown around a lot with the term, and really what they're talking about is remotely piloted vehicles, RPVs.
Yeah,
they're
not
really autonomous, right? Well, in this case, you're right. When you're given to the autonomy and the machine has the ability to make the decisions for itself, that's a little different. I would have more comfort knowing that the aircraft is being operated by a pilot in a box somewhere than I would the drone doing it all by itself. So yeah, I agree that I probably wouldn't be jumping right into an autonomous vehicle without knowing what it's capable of doing. But I'm pretty much sure that I could get into a remotely piloted vehicle without any issue, though we did lose our favorite RPV over the weekend when the Pelagio Hammerhead
yes.
went in the water in the off of Italy. So it's, yeah, you're right. I'm not too old for this yet, but I would think twice about autonomous, maybe not so much if it was a remotely piloted vehicle. And I know that's splitting hairs, but there seems to be a difference.
Yeah. Now, we have EHang's promotional video, a link to that. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. You can take a look at that and let us know. What would it take for you to be willing to fly in an autonomous aerial taxi? Be curious to know what all of you out there think about this.
All right. This one came from all the way down in New Zealand, this story. Drones in whales. I don't know why these two seem to be a constant thread on this show, but we keep talking about drones and whales. And In this case, this is from CNN.com. Drone videos endangered bride whale feeding in research first.
Some students at the Auckland University of Technology were out looking at dolphins, and they were out there with the Hex H2O waterproof drone. And while they were out doing that, apparently they spotted this very rare bride whale off the coast of New Zealand. Now, this is an endangered species. Article mentions that they think there are only 200 of these creatures left in New Zealand waters. But it was feeding her calf using something called lunge feeding. And that's not been observed very frequently before. So the students are out there. They had this drone with them. And so they took the opportunity to create some videos of this very rare event. So I think it's got a pretty high sort of scientific or research value to be able to see something that is not normally seen. And from a vantage point that really gives you a clear picture of just exactly what's going on with this whale and her calf. So fascinating stuff.
So with that, we've got one more video of the week. This was kind of cool. I forget where I found it, but it was Slate.com, and it's a high-tech drone, synchronized drone video light show in front of Japan's Mount Fuji, which is really kind of pretty and unique. And these synchronized drone ballets are getting to become kind of commonplace, though, huh?
Yeah, this is called Sky Magic, and it was produced by an advertising company in Japan named MicroAd. They used 20 drones with LED lights, and yeah, the video is very interesting. The part I liked about this the most, David, is that the video has got a soundtrack. Actually, I guess these musicians were there, these being Japanese traditional guitars. I think they're called shamisens. I just found the music to be really kind of interesting and captivating. So we'll have a link to this in the show notes.
The world traveler who's been to Japan is coming out of our, my co-host. So
I might even sneak some of the soundtrack from this video into the show.
Ooh, cool. So I guess with that, we're going to wrap it up for, I don't know, maybe Max will pull something out for next week. But I will be definitely back in 2 weeks. We're thinking of a contest. We were given a copy of the drone guide that I reviewed two episodes ago. So maybe if you, over the next 2 weeks, somebody comes up with the best story, or if you got the best feedback, we'll happy to send you a copy of the drone guide. What do you think, Max?
Sure. Now, we have just one copy of this, right, David?
We've got one copy. So why don't we say we're going to wait in 2 weeks? If you got a suggestion maybe for a unique way to give this away, let us know. Or if you know somebody who really would like a copy of the drone guide, well, maybe I'll get another copy. So we'll see.
So David, you're saying send us some feedback and
here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Over the next 2 weeks, we'll give it till the beginning of July. Send us some feedback. Why you like the show, if you've never written in, and we'll put all the names in the hat, and we will give away a copy of The Drone Guide. What do you think about that, Max?
That sounds great. I like that. All right, so thanks to all of you for listening to the UAV Digest. As always, you can find us at the UAVDigest.com. We'll have show notes with links to all the news items, the companies, and so forth that we mentioned, the videos. We have quite a lot of videos this time. Find those at the UAVDigest.com/150.
And if you want to send us feedback, which right now you probably want to because you really want that book, that would be feedback@theUAVDigest.com. or you can send it to max@theuavdigest.com since I'm on vacation, or you can send it to me, david@theuavdigest.com. Of course, you can find us on Twitter @UAVDigest. Facebook is facebook.com/theuavdigest. And we always want to invite you to become part of our listener team. And to do that, you can find out how to do that at theuavdigest.com/team. Our listeners on the listener team have a great time. They're really interactive, and we learned a lot. Some of our stories have come from that aspect now. On iTunes, you can leave us a review. Likewise, on Stitcher.com or Google Play. And if you'd like to buy some swag, that would be our Cafe Press store. Or if you'd like to help us financially when we go to various events, the money that we always get through our Patreon accounts helps us pay for things like giveaways and hotel rooms when we go away. So with that, we'd like to thank our patrons and our sponsors. So with that, I will say this is David off to the beach in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.